Got to have your pregame in the worship to get you in the right mind so you can hear the word, right? That's usually the way it works. This morning, and we're going to leave the lights off. I hope you can see good enough in the dark. I want to leave the lights off this morning. I want to just release a word that the Father gave me. Children's Church, y'all just hang in here with us this morning. I think this is significant. I promise I won't be long. I will probably come back and hit this on Wednesday night some more. The Lord spoke something to me Wednesday night as after church, and Jeremy just kind of made a reference or a statement as we were talking after church, and he said he just said something, and I don't even remember what context he spoke it in, but when he said it, this thing somersault started happening in my life, and God began to speak to me on this. I've been looking at what God is wanting to do and what God is desiring to do in our individual lives, in us as a corporate body, and in the kingdom body. And I'm really, really excited about that because I see stuff and experiencing levels of things that I have never experienced before. And I've been in some great, great moves of God. I've been in some great places of revival. And it's been awesome through the years and all of that. But it's just like my marriage. It gets better and richer and deeper the further along it goes. Michaela, it was good in year one. It's better in year 33 with us. And God did some stuff that when you were a kid, how old are you now, Michaela? 15. God was doing some stuff in your daddy's life before you were even thought about, before him and your mama ever got hooked up. God was doing stuff in your daddy's life that was awesome, and we were experiencing a move of God as a company of believers that was awesome. But I believe that what God's doing today and what God desires to do today is even richer and more powerful. Because here's one thing that makes it even more powerful. When I was experiencing God when I was freshly married and had just got saved and all that, I was experiencing God with my wife, and now I'm experiencing God on three generational levels. I'm experiencing God, my children are experiencing God, my grandchildren are experiencing God. And the thing that has the potential for this to be so powerful and so much richer is we see the broad implications of this, because TW, when God did something strong and powerful in you, when you started really getting just God hooked you, how old were you when God just really hooked you? I mean, hooked you deep. 17? 17 when he hooked you. You were a single man at 17. You were out bebopping around and, you know, doing your thing, you and Shane and all the guys and all of that stuff. And that was cool and that was exciting and that was a great time. But now all of a sudden you come in and how old are you now, TW? 38. You had to think about that for a second. You're 38. So 21 years into this thing, now all of a sudden, God has joined you with a woman and you the two have become and are in the process of becoming one flesh. Now you have children that are teenagers and she's not at the place yet to have found her spouse and get married. Now, we'll put that off for another 10 years. Amen. And start having grandkids and everything. You okay starting dating when you're 25, aren't you? That's what we're, yes. There was a loud, emphatic yes back here. But you see what I'm saying? Now it's even more powerful because Jeremy Crane experienced some great things in his life and he shared that on the sermon last Sunday on some of the things that Jeremy experienced. But now Jeremy can sit back and experience great things in what God's doing but see his son totally get wrecked right now as well. I would argue that that is more powerful and a greater level of revival in his life than when he was down here as a 17, 18-year-old kid pouring his heart out to God, seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now he sees God not only turning his life upside down, his wife's life upside down, but his son's life upside down. And he understands the implications and ramifications that has on future generations. Now not only can you come in as a 20-something-year-old woman coming into Victory Fellowship, now you come in as a grandmother with your granddaughter on your hip. And she can experience the presence and the power of God. And that's a deeper and more powerful level. Because we recognize and see the strong generational push that God's doing right now. And to me, that's the depth of this wave. It's not that just we're coming in and we're experiencing God on an exciting way. We've done that. I've laid in the floor. I've carried people out of the river that were gone under the power of the Holy Spirit. I long for that stuff. Don't get me wrong. I want to start crying out for that stuff. But the depth of the wave is I see God doing such generational stuff. I see Him moving in our children and our grandchildren and the seed that is inside her. That's how I see God moving. That's how I see God. The depth and the mass of this wave that's coming in. But there is something, as I look in this, there is something that I see missing in what God is desiring to do in our lives that I think is key for us. And I want this to go out to challenge you. I want this to convict you because I believe that's what the Father wants to do. He wants to challenge you. He wants to convict you because this is going to be crucial. Y'all turn in your Bibles real quickly to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13. If you got it, go ahead, turn there. Numbers 13. If you can bring it up top. All right, the children of Israel are about to go into the promised land. It is about to be the fulfillment of what God, a further step in the fulfillment of what God promised Abraham. A further fulfillment in what God promised the children of Israel as He brought them out of Egypt. What He promised Moses, what He promised the masses in large. And He says, I'm going to bring you into a place and you are going to be my people, and I'm going to be your God, and you're going to have a home. Because up to this point, they didn't have a home. Because they were living in somebody else's land. They were living in Egypt. It started out as blessing. It eventually became bondage. When you stay in something too long, it transitions from blessing to bondage if you're not careful. And that's what had happened with them. Is they stayed in a place and it was not their place, it was somebody else's place. We have got to allow God to carry us into our place with Him. Some of you, the reason you're so frustrated, you've never found your place, you've been living in somebody else's place. That's a good word. You've never lived in your place, you've been living in somebody else's place. It's great that she can live in my place and experience God in my place. But ultimately, she's got to find her place of intimacy, her place of devotion, her place of habitation, her place of dwelling within that relationship with Yahweh. And I'm not talking about just getting saved. And we come in and we're frustrated because we're living in somebody else's place. And God says, I want to carry you to a place that is unique for you. It is powerful for you. It is full of purpose for you. It is full of supernatural for you. And that's where I want to carry you to. And this was the stage that was set right here. Y'all think about that. That word's powerful. Where are you living at? Where are you living at? It's got to be your place. But it's got to be your place. Can't be my place. Can't be Coach White's place. Sometimes corporately it's the same place together. But we have to be a place where I abide with Him. I am my beloved and He is mine. Alright? Y'all getting this? Or else we live our life vicariously through somebody else. We look at their great marriage and we say, that's so good and I just want to get close to that in a proximity. And you're a half mile from being rich. I love the worship that person has. That ain't me and all that, but I love, you know, watching what they do and all of that stuff. Find your place. I'm not saying you got to jump up and down the altar, but there better be a place of worship in your life. There better be a place of intimacy with God where you get lost in Him, Randy. I'm not even going to ask permission. I'm just going to write. My family gives me heck about that. They say, boy, you just run out there with stuff. Randy doesn't like to watch a Georgia football game with anybody but Randy. He doesn't. We gave up on him a couple years ago. We had him over the house a couple years ago, and there was a Georgia football game on. And even just a little minimal conversations around, I could tell it was taking Randy out of his element. Usually we have a great time when we're together. I could tell he didn't have a good evening that evening. We're like, man, we never even invite them to do anything during the Georgia football game. Because Randy gets in his place with Georgia football. Nick's pretty much the same way. Y'all think he gets stupid passionate about stuff. I don't know. I haven't watched one with him in a few years. But used to be real, real bad. The way that you get in that place with Georgia, and I'm not knocking that. The way you get in that place with the Georgia football, you need to have that place with the Lord. Whether it's word, whether it's prayer, whether it's meditation and contemplating those things. And you can do that. I do that on the tractor a lot. You know, Lori get frustrated with me because I'm going to go get on the tractor. And she's like, you've been on the tractor. Why? Part of it is, that's a happy place to me. I'm out there driving around and working and cutting hay or plowing or whatever I need to be doing and all that stuff. But it's a place of contemplation with me and the Lord. And she'll call me up or something while I'm in that place, and I'm real short with her. I don't mean to be ugly, but I'm kind of like, man, I'm like, what? What do you want? Well, I ain't even got that far. I ain't even thought about supper. I know it's 4 o'clock, but I ain't even thought about supper because I'm in a place of contemplation. And what I'm trying to say in that is there's a place that God wants to get you into that's like Randy with Georgia football or whatever captivates you. Rhett's probably like that. Rhett is like that with Alabama football. You can't carry on a decent conversation with him. He goes to the Tollesons now, which is probably a good thing because our house, man, it's, you know, is it between the third and fourth quarter and Lord be wanting to flip to the cooking channel? Right? Isn't that right, Rhett? If you want to be focused, you get in there with your dad and y'all get locked in. Y'all focused on Bama football. And that's a good thing. I'm not knocking that at all. I just say I wish we could get like that with the Lord. And so many of us don't. Because we're living in somebody else's place instead of living in our place and finding our place. And God wants you to find that place. God wants you to find that place. And so I see the children of Israel and they're coming to this point of embarkation. And God comes to them, and I don't even know if I'm going to read much of this scripture or not. God comes to them in Numbers 13, and He tells Moses, He said, get 12 spies, send them into the land, and tell them to spy out the land. This is God saying this. And He said, you tell them to see what quality the land is, see what kind of people dwell in the land, see what's happening in the land. And then, finally, bring back fruit from the land to show them what they can expect if they choose to live there. And so Moses does. He gets 12 people, 20 from each tribe. He sends them into the promised land. They're on this 40-day spy mission. They're scoping everything out. And then they come back and they've got a glowing report with the exception. And I'm not even going to get into the exception. But they come back, and it is the season of the first ripe grapes. And they bring back one bunch of grapes that is so big, they have to put it on a staff between two men. One guy can't physically carry it in a proper way to keep from damaging the fruit. Well, we could preach on that, couldn't we? Carrying stuff the proper way so we don't damage the fruit. So they come in, and now think about this, guys. I've seen some big bunches of grapes, but I ain't never seen a bunch of grapes that I've got to carry. Y'all know what I'm talking about on a staff between two men. Y'all seen the old pictures like where we don't do it anymore. We just throw them on a four-wheeler. But when somebody would kill a deer, you know what they do is they'll hook and they'll take their legs of a deer or a pig or something like that, and they'll run a pole through it, and one guy will carry and the other guy will carry, and the dead animal will be laying upside down like this with its legs tied around the pole. Everybody seen that? You got a mental picture? All right, they had grapes like that. They walk back into camp and these guys are like, now, what was that grape symbolic of and what did that grape represent in that culture? Well, they made raisins out of them and they ate raisins. It was something they could dry and eat raisins out of. But then they could come in and they made wine out of it, which represents celebration. And so they came in and the raisin represented sustenance and the wine represented celebration. So it was a place of sustenance and celebration. And they said, we can come into this place and live in this place. And not only are we going to have sustenance, but we're going to have celebration on top of that. It's a place where we can't have it all. It's a place where He said, I come not just to give you life, but more abundant life. And so they go into this land and they bring this back and they show the people and they say, this is what the land looks like. Everybody getting the picture of the story? All right, here's the word the Lord spoke to me Wednesday night. One element that is missing from this body of believers right now is we have got a body of believers where a lot of people have said yes to revival. They said have yes to, oh yes, I know God wants to send revival. I see revival happening in these other places. I see revival happening in individual lives. I say, you have given God permission to say yes to revival at Victory Fellowship Church. Like He needs permission, but actually He does. We said yes to revival at Victory Fellowship Church. But we're passive in saying yes to that. What we do is we say, Lord, it's almost like we're saying, send it on down, send it on down, send it on down. You know those songs we used to sing? We want revival, send it on down. And what is missing right now, because we've been kicking around, we say, man, what? Because we feel like we're at the precipice. And I've had conversations with Jeremy, and me and Lori have had conversations, and different, and we say a lot of different things. We're like, man, we just need more people need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I agree. Maybe we need to get more in depth on teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I agree. That is something that needs to be added. More people need to go and engage where God is pouring it out and pay a price to do that. You ask Brett House where the most fruitful times in his life have been, and you know what I bet he would say from an individual spiritual aspect? I bet he would say when I was pacing in my Paw Carter's basement in my underwear, praying my guts out, crying out to God half the night long, or driving to Brownsville and standing in line for 10 hours, I'd get out of church, immediately go back, get in line so I'd have a place for the next night church service. Ask Jeremy Crane. He talked about it last Sunday. So we say, yes, we need that, and we need that, and we need that. But I feel like one of the missing ingredients, Randy, is we are passive in our pursuit of ushering in revival in this place. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced of that in my life. Y'all just heard my confessions a while ago. I tell you exactly what the Lord told me on Wednesday night. He said, we need the grapes of Eshkol brought into the place. We need the grapes of Eshkol brought into the place. You know what that means? That means that somebody has got to go to the place of supernatural. Somebody's got to go to the place of promise. Somebody's got to go to the place of a not natural dimension and bring it into this place and show the people and say, this is what we can have. This is what God's got for us. But we're sitting back passively saying, God, I hope it comes. You know, maybe it will and all that. Or we'll get, you know, Damon to come or something like that. I've been working on that for doggone 2 months now. Still trying to get some dates worked out and everything. But if you're waiting on that, you're going to miss what God's doing. I'm not saying we won't continue to, yes, we will. But if you're waiting on that, we need to press into a place. As individuals, we need to go to a place where we come back with the grapes of Eshkol and show other people and say, this is what God has in store for us. That's what Michaela needs. It's for me to come back and say, Michaela, it looks like supernatural to you, but it's natural to Him. And this is what God's got for you. And this is what God's got for us right now. But we up to this point have been unwilling to go there and get it and bring it back. You say, what does that look like, brother? I'd give you one example of what that looks like. Robin gave a word of knowledge a few weeks ago. A specific word of knowledge a few weeks ago. And it was spot on. I personally have had two people tell me, that word applied to both of them spot on. And it was something happening when you were 7 years old. I'm not talking about some vague thing. Somebody's got a back issue, man. 30% of the people in here has got back issues. I'm talking about a specific word of knowledge. You know what that was? That was the grape of Eshkol. It looked like super. Half the body was just kind of like, instead of saying, my gosh, those grapes are huge. We treat stuff like that like a bag of table grapes from Ingles. That's the first fruit. That was the first fruit. But coming back and saying, this is what God has for us. Not just to be released corporately in a house, but be released to somebody on the ball field. At a Bremen football game on Friday night, that you see somebody and you may know them or you may not know them, but you go up to them and you say, man, I feel like the Lord's saying this to me about your life. And you'll be able to tell by the result if you're on or not. That's supernatural fruit. That's what revival looks like. It's not better singing and better preaching. My gosh, you can chase the world over for that. Till you find your flavor. That's why people bounce from church to church to church to church to church. Because I'm looking for my flavor. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. That expression. One thing that I've been just really hammering into some of our worship leaders. And they probably get tired of me saying this, but I've been saying it to them for months and months, specifically Sonny and Melinda. I'll go, and me and Linda have had this conversation, but I'll go to them and I'm like, it is the sound is what's important. You're releasing a sound. It's not the words, it's not the pitch, it's not the excellence. I want it to be excellent, but it is a sound that you're releasing. Back a few months ago, we were in Los Angeles at Microsoft Theater with 7,000 people. It was a Bethel Worship Conference. And they came in the last night, and it just so happened it had my favorite worship leaders were leading worship that night, Chad. But it came in, and when Stephanie Gretzinger, they began to release a sound, and it was a if you listen to it right now, you'd probably be like, because she just started singing a song over at Los Angeles. And it will never be a recorded hit. And she'd say, LA, 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 and just, you know, goes on her Stephanie Gretzinger thing. And she started declaring that. And Darlene Sheck had just, I don't know if y'all know who Darlene Sheck is. She old school. Darlene Sheck, she's the one started Hillsong. She got up and she started releasing the word. And then Stephanie Gretzinger started praying and releasing a sound over a city that the prophetic community has been cursing for 50 years. Earthquake's going to happen. It's going to fall off in the ocean. And God's cursed California. How many of y'all have heard it before? Because of their wickedness. Guess what? Bremen, Georgia is just as wicked. And she started releasing a sound that went way more than good. Because I've tried to go back, Kenny, and I've watched it on YouTube, and I can't replicate what took place that night. I look at it now, and I'm like, that was one of the most powerful moments I've ever been in my life. And I look at it on YouTube now, and I'm like, yeah, that's good, but that's a little weird and all of that stuff. I'm serious. But she went to a place of supernatural and started releasing something in the heavenly, and I literally thought the building was going to explode. It felt like the roof was coming off that place, didn't it, Lori? It was like, oh my gosh, if heaven's any more powerful. I felt like when they dedicated the temple, Solomon's temple, and the Shekinah glory cloud fell, and it was so thick that the priest couldn't even minister. That's what it felt like. And I could feel something reverberating out through Los Angeles. I could feel something being released. You know what that was? That was somebody or a group of people going into a place of promise and bringing back grapes. You know what God wants you to do? Go to that place of promise. Go to your place. Go to the place of supernatural encounter with Him and bring fruit back from that. To show the people. To show your husband. We get caught up in this. I'm trying to run a business and I'm trying to raise kids and I'm trying to do this and it consumes us. And it's good stuff, but the good stuff that consumes us takes away from the better stuff. That was the big deal about the 1.5 tribes that didn't want to cross the Jordan River. They said it's good enough right here. You're right, the land did look just as good, but there was one thing that was missing. And you know what that one thing missing was? The Ark of the Covenant. Because the Ark of the Covenant crossed the river. And we will come in and we'll be satisfied on this side of the river and say, we got good music on this side of the river. We got good preaching on this side of the river. We got a nice little church on this side of the river. It's beautiful. Look, we got 30 acres and we're going to plan a worship event and we're going to have a wedding down in the woods and we're going to have a trail of treats in October and it's going to be so much fun for the kids and we can come in. But if the ark is crossed over, that's what's missing, Robin. I'm convinced. I feel like that's what the Father's saying right now. Is what is missing in this and some other big moves of God that we've had is nobody is going in and saying, let me go get grapes and bring them back. I can say yes, but I can be passive in my yes. Or I can say yes and I can go get some grapes. And I can bring them back and I can show you. And I can show Carolyn and I can show Mark and say, let me show you what dwells there. Let me show you this place. I heard Brother Damon make a reference to something about a month ago and he just said it in passing and moved right along and then it tied in with some of the study and teaching that I did out of Ezekiel 47 on the study of the river. Y'all remember that when I taught on the river that flowed from the throne? I remember us saying Revelation 22, it's the same picture of that river. And that river flows out of the throne room of God in heaven. And in that river, I love the wording on this because it said on either side of the river grows the tree of life. We look at it as a singular, but it's growing on both sides of the river. So I believe that tree has the potential, unless a grain of wheat fall into the earth and die, it abides alone. But when it goes in and it dies, it produces. But the thing about that tree of life that we talk about and that river that we talked about in this, now think about this, and I'm not going to go there this morning for time's sake or what I feel like the Lord's wanting to do. We might break it down scripturally Wednesday night. But in Revelation 22, you know what it says, Michaela? You're a dangerous place. You didn't sit down here with my wife. I like it. Revelation 22, you know what it says? It says that tree produces fruit 12 months a year. So that eliminates our excuse, it's not a good season for me. Okay? You know, I'm too busy right now. Stand in line. You know, I'm raising 4 kids right now. You're not the first person to raise 4 kids and chase after God. All right? You're not the person. I'm a sophomore in high school. You're a sophomore this year, right? I'm a sophomore in high school, and I've got all of this fun, crazy, amazing stuff. Even though I'm not going to date till I'm 25, I've still got all this amazing stuff happening in my life. There's no excuse for a season that does not produce fruit. But there's something else about that tree that we see in Revelation 22. It says that it is its leaves. Has anybody ever seen a tree produce fruit that didn't have leaves on it? I personally don't know of any. All the trees around here, they produce, the leaves are a symbol of life, not of a non-dormant state. And so when they got leaves, it's able to produce fruit. So it talks about this tree up there, and it says its leaves are for the healing of the nations. Its leaves are for the healing of the nations. But it's in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. Right? There's no sick nations in heaven. So if the leaves of that tree are for the healing of the nations and it's in heaven, then what is my job and what is Michaela's job? To go between two worlds and bring that heavenly healing back to this place. That's the grapes of Eshkol. Is that God has made a way for me through my relationship with Him, through the blood of the cross, through my positionally being right with Him, through my being filled with the Holy Spirit, that I can go back and forth between two worlds. I am not of this earth, but I live in a place with Him. I can go back and forth, and I can bring heavenly things into an earthly realm. You see that? That's what that is. That's what that means. Is that there is stuff in heaven that the earth desperately needs. But there needs to be some Joshua and Calebs that are willing to go there and get it and bring it back here and say, let me show you the grapes and let you partake of the grapes. I don't believe they let those grapes rot. I believe they were consumed. So God has positionally put me in a place and invitationally put me in a place where He says, come up here, and I can go into these supernatural places with Him and bring heavenly stuff back to an earth that is in desperate need of healing. Amen. That's the grapes of Eshkol. It's a testimony. It's a representation. Let me show you a better way. Let me show you a kingdom way. Let me show you a way that will give you hope. Let me show you a way that will give you life. Let me show you a way that will give you purpose. Let me show you a way that will heal your hurts. It's what our country needs. It doesn't need a political party. It needs the leaves from the tree of life. I embrace medicine and I embrace doctors and I thank God for great doctors and all of that stuff. But that alone's not fixing stuff. Higher education's not fixing stuff. Better test scores isn't fixing stuff. Better sports teams not fixing stuff. Only the things we're going to find there. In Him. In Him. And that's the awesome invitation that He's given you. It's not just for the clerical hierarchy. It's not just for the Bill Johnsons and the anointed Mike Bickles and all of that stuff. He's given a senior in high school an invitation to come up here and to me in places. Here's the thing, guys, is these grapes of Eshkol seem mind-blowing supernatural to us and unattainable to us. You know what it is? It's natural to Him. There's not a person in Canaan land that it blew their mind when they saw grapes that big, because that's what naturally grew there. Think about that. You think about that. That's what naturally grew there. The reason this stuff seems unattainable and blows our mind is we've not spent enough time visiting those places. Because I spend all of my passion and all of my energy on natural carnal things. I didn't say sinful things, but natural and carnal things. Without ever going into those places with God. And that's the invitation. To me, this is the jump, this is the launching pad for revival. Is the invitation that you can go to those places. We spend all our time talking about how great Bama is this year and how bad LSU looked yesterday. You know, we can come in and we'll expound on all of that, and I'll read every editorial out there, man. I'll scroll through my iPhone and I'm looking and I'm reading about some Joel-edged commentary that don't really mean anything. And all of my focus and all of my energy will be on that. And the whole time, God's saying, come up here. Here's the thing, and I'm done with this. If you're waiting for God to scream louder than all of those voices, you'll miss it, because He won't. If you're waiting for God to scream louder than all of those voices, you'll miss it, because He won't. He's not going to compete with that. Do you like college football? Yesterday was a great day for you. There was a lot of good games on. If you enjoy hunting, woo, you about to hit your sweet spot, baby. You enjoy the cool fall days and going out and enjoying nature and doing this and doing that and doing that, you're about to hit that sweet spot. It feels good out there. But here's the thing. God's not going to scream louder than all of those things. He's going to come in and He's going to cry out and He's going to whisper to you and He's going to say, come up here. And He's going to put a little nagging in you that's saying, you know what? This ain't it. This is good, and this ain't it. Chubb looked awesome yesterday, 220-something yards. It's football season. I'll talk about football some. But that ain't going to fulfill you. It's not going to fulfill you. Good church ain't going to fulfill you. You will eventually get tired of that. Manna was awesome, but after a while they wanted something else, Mark. Manna was never intended to sustain the children of Israel for 40 years. Although it did, it was not never intended for that. You know how long manna was supposed to sustain the children of Israel? 13 days. That was how long the journey was supposed to take from Egypt to Canaan, was 13 days. And it wound up having to sustain them for 40 years. Here's the deal, guys. Grapes of Eshcol showed themselves after the initial journey there. But then they weren't visited again for 40 years because they said no to crossing over. So the question for you, y'all stand to your feet. Worship team, y'all come on up. Full worship team, y'all come on up. Whatever list you think you need to do, Linda. If you're frustrated, I've got a cure for you, and it's called the Grapes of Eshcol. Go to places you hadn't been going. Go to places you haven't been going. You say, I think some people could legitimately say today, Brother Sid, I don't know how to get there. And that is a legitimate thing. As they get ready, I want to tell you something that in my life that just happened in the last few weeks. Y'all know I like to fly fish. And I guess the South Holston's my kind of home river up in Bristol, Tennessee, Virginia. It's where I learned to fly fish, and I've been successful up there. I've learned how to fish that river. But me and Lori have started really enjoying Blue Ridge, Georgia. We love the area. We love the place. There's just a lot of cool stuff. It's a good vibe. You know, it reminds me of Breckenridge stuck in Georgia or something like that, or Park City stuck in Georgia. And there's a river up there, and it's the Toccoa River, and I love to fly fish, but I've never caught any big fish. I've only fished it three times now. And I've just caught little hatchery fish. And I love this place. I just wish there was better fly fishing. So I went in there and I stopped in the fly shop that's in downtown Blue Ridge, and I started talking to the owner last Monday, I guess it was. I started talking to the owner. And I'm like, man, I love the area and all that, but I fish up. He said, you'll catch bigger fish here. And I'm like, you stupid. He said, no, you'll catch bigger fish here. And you know what he did? He pulled out his iPhone. And he started showing me pictures of stuff they had caught. Caught a 34.5-incher 2 months. That don't mean sound much to some people, but that's like a state record. He showed me picture after picture after picture. And here's what he said. He said, you just got to learn when to fish and where to fish. And you know what he said? He said, you come up here and go with me and I'll take you. For a price. For a price. Legitimate, that's his business. He said, you come in March for 3 weeks, there's a caddis hatch and it's ridiculous up here. When the hatches keep coming, it's ridiculous and you'll catch a lot of fish and you'll catch big fish. You come in the wintertime and I'll show you where to fish and we'll catch big fish. And you know what I told you? I walked away from that. Determined, you know what I said? I'm going to learn to fish this river and I'm going to learn to catch big fish on this river. So you know what it's going to require on my part? Number one, I had to see some grapes of Eshkol to realize that they really did exist in that river. The only thing I've ever caught, 14-inch fish. But I saw pictures and said, you know what? It does exist. A word of knowledge does exist. A sound that'll blow the roof off a place does happen. Supernatural stuff in our lives is natural to Him. So I saw the pictures. That's why we put trail cams out as deer hunters. You put trail cams out. Aunt Dis, why you put trail cams out? Because you say, if I put a trail cam out, I know what's out there. I want to challenge some of you guys spiritually. Put some trail cams out. How do I do that? First, you invest in it. You go buy some. And then you put it in a strategic place. You put it in a strategic place. You put that trail cam in somebody's life. They said, I've been married 33 years and it's amazing. You put that trail cam in somebody's life that says, I've been in these places in worship and it's mind-blowing. Hey, John, it's safe. Find your place and stay still, honey. You put those trail cams. Y'all get that? Do you get that? That's how you know what's there. And then once you know what's there, then you say, man, I want to learn how to fish this. So you go with somebody that's been there before you. You say, why do you put so much emphasis on Bill Johnson? Because he's been places that I want to go. Amen. He's living in places that I want to live. Why do you put so much significance on Damon Thompson? Because he lives in places that I want to live. That's why I'll drive all over everywhere to go to a meeting here or a worship conference there. That's why I'm so excited about you going to this Bethel worship with me in October. Terry J, you going to this Bethel? You going? I don't know if she told you not. You going with me? I got a date night with you. I might feed you before we go, but you really going to get fed after we eat physical food. That's why I do that. Because people have gone places that my heart longs to go to, T. Why eat a grape? Why be satisfied with a stockfish out of a hatchery when I can catch something that big? Huh? So I want to get hooked up and I want to gravitate toward people that have been there and brought back grapes. But here's the message this morning for some of you guys. You got to start being the person that brings back the grapes. Quit pointing them to Damon. Quit pointing them to Bill. Quit pointing them to Mike Bickle. Quit pointing them to Havilah and Lisa Bevere and saying, go look at them. And you start being the person that say, man, if Coach Phillips brought those grapes back, then maybe I can go get them too. If Brandon brought those grapes back, maybe I can go get them too. So now the onus is on us. One thing that's holding back revival in this place is a group of people that will say, I'll go get grapes and I'll bring them back. I'll go get supernatural fruit and I'll bring it back. That's what your daughters need. They need a daddy that'll go and bring back supernatural fruit. And it gets into a place where it's not even supernatural anymore because it's just new nature. That's what they need. That's what this house needs. That's what this house needs. Tanner, that's what this house needs. It's somebody that's willing to go get grapes. Say, let me go to a place. And it's a deep place. And it's a place that's expensive. And I may have to go with somebody I don't really feel super comfortable with because I think they're a little bit weird. The world thinks most people that go to those places are weird. It's okay. Wear the weird label. That's what he needs. That's what she needs. She needs a mark that's going to go and bring back grapes of Eshkol. And say, baby, let me show you what God just told me in this place of intimacy. I've been up with Him all night, and this is what He said. That's what she needs. supernatural. Not just, I think this is what Scripture means. Y'all don't need that. I need supernatural. Supernatural. Grapes of Eshkol. If you have not been going there, if you've not been bringing that back, then you need to be in this altar right now. I say that you need to be in this altar right now. If you're hungry for that, you need to be in this altar right now. If you want that, you need to be in the... Go ahead and move. If you want that, you need to be in this altar right now. If you know that the world needs leaves brought from the tree of life, and God wants you to go between two worlds, you need to be in this altar right now. Oh, will there be a Joshua and a Caleb? Will there be a Joshua and a Caleb? Go ahead, worship team. Spend this time between prayer, repentance, and worship. Let it be all three. We're not in a rush. Let it be all three.